Hello and welcome to The Stockholmer, going behind the scenes of Stockholm's startup and creative industries. I'm Maddie Savage and here's this week's guest.
You need to have the guts, ice cold decision making, and then be proud of what you have decided to do, and then just do it with an absolute passion.
That's Annette Nordvall, who spent much of her career in the US, but is now one of Stockholm's most influential angel investors, and one of our most opinionated interviewees so far. She's not impressed by the sheer volume of people who call themselves entrepreneurs these days, but she's on a mission to share her money with the startup she thinks could shape the future.
The Stockholmer.
Annette, welcome to The Stockholmer. Two things, first of all, you're one of the chattiest people I've met since I've been here in Sweden, and you've got an amazingly long CV, so I think it's going to be a challenge keeping this episode to a coffee break length, but we'll do our best. We're recording this at Stockholm FinTech Hub, which is a physical space for startups, banks, finance companies and regulators to meet up. And first off, I want anyone that's put off by the word finance to promise to listen to the end of this podcast, because I know that a lot of what you've got to say is going to be very relevant and engaging for people, even if they might not think so or come from that background. And I want to start with a fact that I found out about you, which is that you hated maths growing up at school and you are an angel investor. First of all, tell us what exactly that is.
Well, yes, absolutely. I did not at all like math. That was my least favorite subject. But that's the only thing that I've been actually making living on right now, or have been doing for a long time. Angel investor for me is to be able to participate in really, really cool technology. It's more like pay to play, to be able to, with a small amount of money and an enormous scoop of understanding and knowledge, to be able to assist companies for moving forward. Also, like, I'm extremely chatty, like you said, but I also have a huge network and I love to use my network for good causes, and hopefully it will be good business for everyone in the end.
We'll talk a bit more about the companies you've worked with and your role, but just taking a step back then, you've been something of an innovator yourself your whole life. I've been looking at some of the things you've done. You started out as a Girl Scout solving problems in the forest, ended up studying business and project management. You've worked in design. You've spent 17 years in the US working in a range of industries, property, IT, cars, trading. Is there anything that hangs this all together that's driven you along the way, the kind of red thread to your personal business success?
I believe that curiosity is one of the things, and also that I always seize opportunities. I'm an extremely high risk taker. I'm an extremely good starter. I am not really a very, very good long-term person. So I have about 3 years of attention span in something. But I actually have 5 years anniversary in Stoaf. But that's so diverse.
And that's the Stockholm Business Angels network that you're part of.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. And we have invested in 30 companies so far. So I think my red thread is that I do what I really like doing and have an opportunity to do so.
So you definitely wouldn't have felt you'd fitted in the traditional corporate world, working in one company, working your way up, which maybe would have been more the norm when you were starting out in your career in business.
Right. Well, I think that I'm actually a hopeless employee, because I wouldn't be because I wouldn't be fit in into any jar that they want me to be and so forth. And I can't see myself in that kind of environment.
You really have a millennial mindset, even though born in the 60s.
Right.
Let's talk about some of the companies that you've invested in then. Like you say, you seem to follow your heart, and so they're very wide ranging. So there's Cover, which works with security, making it easier for us to buy things. Eggs Inc., which is an eggs-based fast food company, the crowdfunding platform funded by me. Some of our listeners will have heard the CEO of that in season 2 of The Stockholmer. And you've also invested in your own company, bringing the Aquis hair towel, which helps to dry very long hair like yours super fast. So a really broad range of businesses. What made you want to start investing in other people's ideas, other people's businesses instead of your own?
I felt that it was extremely interesting for me to be able to give my also a lot of knowledge into it, so that I didn't have to be the innovator, but I could be innovative within their idea because of my skills then to how can you charge for it, who, which kind of services, which customer would it be, and so forth. And I believed, I think that my biggest drive in doing this is working together with other people. And like you mentioned before, in the early, you said, well, I did with the scouts and so forth. That was in a group environment. And I believe that the strength of working together with other people, diversity within the group, not only, you know, that you're in gender, but in background, ages and everything, that is extremely stimulating. So when I found Stockholm Business Angel, STOAF, that I mentioned before, and this is 5 years ago then, I felt actually I can make some big changes. I can do with my tenacity and my chattiness or my way of being able to express how we want to do. I saw that we had an opportunity with the business angels to speak up and tell other women that if you have money and you're interested in working also in coaching, this would be an extremely good arena to participate in. So,
how much of it would you say is to do with this helping others, giving back versus making money? Because at the end of the day, that is what you're doing. You're investing in companies that you think are going to do really well, that will either make money or be sold for a lot of money.
Yeah. Well, that is sort of the plan, that I would make 10 times the money that I'm doing, but I also spend a lot of time in it so to make sure that I actually will get the money back. So in the end, I don't know if it's going to break even if I had a job and pull the salary rather than doing this. But I have more fun doing this, and I have to push much further in anything that I do. But I'm going to have an extremely interesting time, and I'm going to learn a lot. I think that you don't have to have that much money, but I believe that if you go together in a group and you co-invest like I do, it doesn't hurt that much, because first of all, it's not only your money, it's a group effort, so everybody's in it with the same. And if it's a large amount, they need a couple of million Swedish krona, maybe your part of it is a couple of percentage of that million, so it's not that much, but you can diversify yourself in 15 companies. So I believe that the way we're doing it suits me fantastic.
Let's talk a bit more generally about the Stockholm startup scene. More and more global entrepreneurs are moving here to launch startups, or even just come to get a feel of the scene, go to conferences. And you're one of the few really vocal people that has been a little bit critical about the hype around Stockholm. Although there are some real innovators here, there's also a lot of people with ideas that haven't got any funding. You've described some of them as you've basically said it's a nice way of saying that they're unemployed.
Yes.
Can you justify that a bit for us? Explain more.
Well, in the hype in itself is that I have a hard time to, since I'm an entrepreneur myself, I have this understand. I get a fire in my belly when I understand that this is something that could be extremely good. This is something that I could really work with or continue to develop and so forth. And I think it's extremely hard to be educated into getting that, how you get the fire in your belly, or the tenacity to be able to complete something that is almost insane to even start. But you see so many different things that click in your network and whatever. So having an entrepreneur as an educational, or what do you want to do when you grow up? I want to be a police officer, or I want to be a nurse, or a firefighter, or an entrepreneur. I mean, an entrepreneur for me today is like, you don't really know what you're going to do. You have been you're well educated, but you think that you have a business idea. You just need to find out what that business idea is, and then you can make a chart.
So people are attracted to the idea of being an entrepreneur.
No,
rather
to create a unicorn, to make so much money that they don't even know where to sit, because it's so much, buttloads of money. That's how they believe that an entrepreneur is. But an entrepreneur is working. Look at companies here in Sweden like Spotify or Klarna. Those companies, they've been working for over 10 years to be successful in large businesses. And it takes a long time to build a good company.
There are other aspects to the entrepreneurial lifestyle that grab people, though. I think if a lot of people think, well, if I'm running my own business, I can work flexibly. But then as somebody that also works freelance myself, that also might mean replying to emails at 10 past 10 because you're the only person that can do it.
Right.
But this freedom that's attached to not belonging to a real big corporation attracts a lot of people.
Yeah. And then also, we've been talking also about the business innovation. Some of the stuff, it's unbelievable. You can't, it will be something that works today. But if I'm investing in early stage investment, I need to understand how does the customer look 5, 7, 10 years from now, because that's when this application is actually going to be a real application with full function. What, how will society look in 5 years or in 10 years? If you go 10 years back, we didn't have smartphones, almost. Look what that has changed. I don't think
we're recording this on a smartphone now with a microphone adapter. And 10 years ago, I would have had a mini disc recorder and a very heavy microphone.
Exactly. So it's just it's like, how can we in smart with smart technology clean water? How can we with smart technology give your work knowledge and competence and so forth into a blockchain kind of function? How can I measure that in the future? Decreasing emission from cars and all kinds of crazy stuff that we're doing today. How can we mass transport better and so forth? I think we need to solve that with technology. We don't need to have drones that deliver pizza. We need the drones to deliver good information or blood or vaccine into extremely crazy areas where you can't reach on a car and so forth. And I mean, we can do so much better thing if we just think a little bit longer. What can I do if I not only make money, I can also make good stuff with it? What is that solution? That's where we need to be.
But there's a lot of talk around this. How much would you say you're seeing that reflected in pitches these days? Or are you still as an investor seeing a lot of pitches about the flying pizzas or the lifestyle based apps?
So if you look into pitches, I think that it's half-half. Half of them actually has some kind of sustainable goal or some global goal thought into it. This will actually take away a lot of unnecessary fuel consumption, or this will take away this and this, but it also does this, so it's pretty cool technology.
Do you think entrepreneurs are going to make less money in future then if their solutions are more focused on global problems rather than improving people's lifestyles and entertainment as they have been in recent years?
No, thought process, if I don't think that I'm doing a good thing and I don't like what I'm doing, I'm not going to participate in it. We have done telecom, we have done, you know, the streaming and TV and how we consume information in a whole other way that we've been doing before. And because of that, I believe that you can make money on the solutions that are for the future, which is saving the earth. We need to take care of our environment here so we can stay here longer.
You kind of answered my next question in that, because you're so passionate about investing in things that will help with the future. But on the other hand, you know, you were born in the 60s. You've obviously made a lot of money. I haven't seen your bank account, but I'm pretty sure that if you wanted, you could just have an easy life right now. Go and sit out in the Stockholm archipelago or something for the rest of your life. So what drives you to stay in this industry?
Not necessarily on the bank account, because I'm spending a lot of money as well. I do this because I can, and I don't know who else will. And I think that I need to continue to do it and talk about it.
How do you feel as you look back on what you've achieved?
Actually, I've been discussing this with my husband a couple of times, and I said, what would have happened if we didn't move away?
So if you hadn't moved to the US and you stayed here?
Yeah, I think that I would have been a lousy employee, sort of not satisfied with what I've been doing. So I think that you need to sort of have the guts to start your dream now and not wait, because there will be, you never know what's going to happen. Life will happen, and then you have to solve other problems, but you have to be bold in your decisions, ice cold decision making, and then be proud of what you have decided to do. And then if it doesn't work, then you change it, but you have a bias of when you change it. So you need to put out some kind of feelers, what this is will work. I will do this and this. If it doesn't work, then I'll redo it or I'll do something else. And then just do it with an absolute passion. Otherwise, if you're not satisfied, then move on.
That's it from the Stockholmer for this week. But before you go, we would love you to do one tiny thing. Take a selfie of yourself listening to the show, or just a screenshot of your favourite episode if you're feeling shy, and share it on Instagram with the hashtag #TheStockholmer. You can help us to spread the inspiring stories behind Stockholm's startup and creative scenes. The show is an independent production by Maddie Savage, with sound support from Benoit Derrier. Richard Stevens designed our logo, and our soundtrack is by Simeon Ghost.